Good morning. He is risen. All right, some of you know that the early church, they would often start their services by "He is risen." The crowd would say, "He is risen indeed." Well, welcome to this Resurrection Sunday on this Lord's Day. We are so glad to have you here on what's often called Easter Sunday. And I know folks will still be coming in. Our service time is normally 10:30, and today it's 10 o'clock. And so we didn't send an email reminder out. So we might have a steady stream of folks coming in between now and 10:30. We will see what happens, all right? And either way, we're glad to have you here. There may be some visitors sprinkled around. In fact, I see some folks that maybe are not normally here. So glad to have you as part of our service this morning. Whether you're a first-time visitor, maybe you're here because of family, we are glad to have you, and I look forward to meeting you after the service. In just a second, we're going to open up with our first hymn. In the bulletin, it says, "He Lives," 268. That's a well-known hymn, but let me just give you a quick hymn history about that. I think it'll make you sing it a little bit different. It's a common hymn, "He Lives, He Lives," but you may not know that the author, Alfred Ackley, was born in Pennsylvania and actually pastored for a brief time in Wilkes-Barre, all right, many years ago in the early 1900s. And he was an ordained Presbyterian minister. He did pastor in Wilkes-Barre and other places, Pittsburgh as well. He helped even several years with evangelist Billy Sunday throughout the country. He wrote some 1,500 hymns and religious type poems and songs. This is probably his most famous. But the reason he wrote this hymn, he was in California. I don't know if he was preaching or helping out with some services and witnessing. And a young Jewish man came up and had conversation, and he was trying to share Jesus Christ. And the young Jewish man said, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" No. Why should I? What are you talking about? And so, boy, Alfred Ackley sort of was chewing on that. He went home. He was thinking about that. How was he going to answer that? And then he heard something on the radio. There was a preacher on the radio. It was the morning of Easter morning. He was getting ready to go to church. And the preacher said, "Good morning," on the radio. "It's Easter. You know, folks, it really doesn't make any difference to me if Christ be risen or not. As far as I'm concerned, his body could be as dust in some Palestinian tomb. The main thing is," this preacher said on the radio, "his truth goes marching on." Alfred Ackley heard that and shouted. Some say, we don't know if it's true, that he threw a shoe or something at the TV or the radio and said, "That's not true." And his wife heard it and said, "Well, why don't you do something about it?" All right? And I'm telling you, that stirred him up so much. He said, "He lives. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I can give that testimony," and so could thousands of people. And right after that, he wrote the hymn we're about to sing. He lives. He lives. He's in the world today. How do I know that? Well, I hope you can answer that, because he lives within your heart. I trust each of you today knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you have a personal relationship with him, and we are glad to have you here on this Resurrection Easter Sunday. Grab that hymnal, turn to 268 as our song leader comes. We're going to sing that hymn this morning.
All right, and let's stand as we sing 268, 268. "I serve a risen Savior, he lives." "I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, praise Jesus, lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. Lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Pastor.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I trust He does live within your heart. Let's open the service in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you today on this Lord's Day, this first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we're so grateful that we do not just celebrate and remember Christ's resurrection one Sunday a year, but Lord, every day as a child of God. We live in the light of eternity because Christ is risen. Lord, we are so grateful, though, that we can on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, here in the morning, Lord, have our service and praise and glorify your name. Lord, we're so grateful that Jesus Christ died for our sins, shed his blood for our sins, was buried, and rose again that third day. We're so grateful, Lord, that he ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father and has promised, Lord, to return one day to bring all those who have trusted his name, that are his children, back to heaven with him. Lord, it's our prayer that every person here today, whether a longtime church member, attendee, or a first-time visitor, whether young or old, whether someone here in person or watching live stream, that every single person doesn't just know the facts about Easter, doesn't just know the facts about the cross and the Easter story, but Lord, they have a personal relationship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he indeed does live within their heart. Lord, we love you. We pray today's service would magnify you. We pray, Lord, today we'd be full of joy at our risen Savior. And Lord, I pray that it would transform our lives, if not already, but each and every day as we live through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your way, Lord, today in the service, I pray. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to take our hymn books once again, and let's turn to 273, and let us stand once again as we sing 273, Christ the Lord is risen today. 273, as the choir comes down to join you.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
This now thy sting, alleluia.
to take our hymn book one more time and turn to 265. 265. Let's stand once more as we sing Christ Arose. 265. Christ Arose. This time we do a special music this morning. We'll be singing a song called Come to the Cross. Come over here.
Look to the cross of the Lamb of God. Lay all your guilt on Him. Freely His lifeblood He sacrificed, praying the debt of your sin. Come to the cross upon Calvary, gaze on the scene anew, turn from your sin to the
turn from your sin to
kneel at the throne of your risen Lord. Death now has lost its sting. Thanks be to God for the victory. Hail to your conquering King. Come to the cross upon Calvary. Gaze on the scene anew. Turn from your sin to the merciful Savior.
Praise the Lord. What wonderful music we've had the privilege to participate in, to listen to on this Easter morning. Thank you for all those involved with that and in that. We're going to go ahead and dismiss at this time our children's church. That would be sixth graders and down. And so if you're visiting with us and you have some children, you are more than welcome. They're welcome to stay in the service with you, or you can send them to the children's church. Teachers, make sure you check. There may be some visitors. Get them in the right class. Find out where they're at, and that way get them back to mom and dad safely there. All right. Everybody's looking around like, wow, that's a lot of people, all right? Now, some of these adults are coming back, all right? They walk their children to their class, and then they return, all right? Some of those, though, are teachers and assistants. All right, glad to have you here again on this Resurrection Easter Sunday morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. If you're here today without a copy of the Bible, you can grab right there, should be within arm's length, what's called a pew Bible, dark blue navy, and you can turn to the back. You say, I don't know where 1 Corinthians is. Well, I'm going to find it for you here. It's page 1620. 1620 if you want to use the pew Bible. 1620 toward the back. That'll get you to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll let you find your place there today. I'm looking around a little bit. Now I see not as many people here. There may be some folks again that have slipped in. Welcome to our service. We've got some folks here that are college students. We've got over here Isabella, Norman Sue's granddaughter down at Temple. She's home for a little bit. Alyssa, are you done? Or you still got a little bit of college left? She's still got a little bit. Alyssa's over here, Mark and Carrie's daughter there at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Probably have to explain that to a lot of people. All right. I'm trying to see. I don't think David is home this week. David's got about a week left at the University of Pittsburgh, and he'll be home for good for the summer. There may be some others I'm missing in here that I don't see. There may be some folks that are visitors or first time in a while. Welcome. Glad to have you to the service here today, and we'd love to have you back again at another time. My wife's not able to be here today. She's still battling a little bit of sickness, congestion, and loss of voice. He'd love to be here today. And so at the back, I'll be happy to meet you if you're a visitor. Introduce yourself to me and come back again so you can meet her. All right. She'd love to meet you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Before I get into the message this morning, what a blessing to, again, to sing some of those songs. Up from the grave, he arose. He lives. Now, maybe you've ever played the game or you talked with people and said, you know, if you could pick just one Bible event, or two maybe, or three, that you could have been there in person and seen, you know, who knows? There's no right or wrong answer. You know, maybe you'd say, oh, I love David and Goliath. I really like to see that. Or, you know, the Red Sea, whoa. Or, boy, I don't know. Boy, it'd be hard to beat the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. I don't know. I think, though, most of us probably would say, boy, I don't know about, maybe you'd say the cross, maybe not. It'd be hard to beat, though, Resurrection Sunday morning. There's no eyewitness that we have to exactly how all that happened. We talked about that a little bit in the sunrise service, the order of events. We do know the Bible says that there was a great earthquake. We do know that the stone was rolled away. Jesus did not come out meekly, but as victorious conqueror and king.
Wow. We know that shortly thereafter, the religious leaders had a very quick, sudden meeting to discuss the events and paid money to get lies. I wonder what the meeting was like with Satan and his demons. Whoa. Now what are we going to do? Wow. We weren't there. We'll have to get to heaven, perhaps, and maybe they'd get that answered. Maybe we'll already know it. Oh, we're so thankful to have you here today on what is Resurrection Sunday morning. And I want you to know that tomorrow when you get up for work on a Monday, he's risen. Some of our students go back to college or school. He's risen. Even on Wednesday this week, when you don't feel good and you get an unexpected bill, he's still risen. You know, on the end of the week and the kids are ornery and you're ornery and the husband's ornery and the wife and everything's ornery. But you know, I want you to know he's still risen. I want you to know if you're watching the news all the time and you get caught up with all the things that are happening in the world, I want you to know he's still risen. It's not just on Easter Sunday that we talk about it and sing about it and smile and dress a little different. If you really believe that Jesus Christ is risen, then it's every day. And it should transform you so that you're never the same. And that's what we want to look at a little bit here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll get to the verses in a little bit. Normally I begin by reading and then we get into the message. Today we're going to do a little different. I'm going to get into the message and then we're going to be reading. My title of the message, for those who take notes, and there is a room on the back of the bulletin if you'd like to take notes. The title this morning is, What If Jesus Had Not Risen? What if Jesus had not risen? In the sunrise service at 7 o'clock, I read toward the beginning, I read the last few verses of Mark 15, where it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And then shortly thereafter, he was taken down from the cross, and two men, the Bible says, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, hastily wrapped him and put him in a new tomb, but fairly quickly because it was the eve of the Sabbath. What if that had been the end of the story, though? What if that was it? What if he had died, gave up the ghost, was buried, put in the tomb, stone was rolled, and then that's it? What if there was no Matthew 28, no Mark 16, no Luke 24, no John 20? What if when the women went that morning to anoint the body, the stone was still there? What if the guards were still patrolling? What if the stone was rolled away and the body was still there? What if Christ had not risen? Have you considered that? Would we even have a gospel? The gospel? The gospel is the good news. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There would be no gospel if Christ had not risen. There would be no good news. But I want you to consider it now. I don't want you to give it a hasty, quick little thought and say, well, it doesn't really matter. We know he's risen. I want to ask you, what would have happened, or what if Jesus had not risen? What would life be like? Do you know, for some people, life would be exactly the same as it is right now, even though he is risen. You know, for many people, even those who name the name of Christ, there is no real evident difference in their life, even though he's risen. For many people, life would continue going on if Christ had not risen. The world would just continue the way it was. Oh, think about that. If Christ had not risen some 2,000 years ago, and we're living today in 2025, what would the world we live in be like? We know what it's like right now. We live in it. We walk in it. We drive in it. We go to school in it. We go to work in it. We know what life's like. We know what happens in the world. We turn on the news. We know of... What if Christ had not risen, though? What would it be like today? What would you be like, seriously, if Christ had not risen? Do you know that the Bible answers the very question, that question? The Bible answers the question, if Christ had not risen. And we're in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians, you're in chapter number 15. Let's start reading at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. And I'd love to have everybody have a copy of the Bible that they can look at and follow along with me so you can see what God's Word says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached,
that he rose from the dead. By the way, we preach here at this church that Christ rose from the dead. But this is a rhetorical question. Now, if Christ be preached or proclaimed that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there could be some even in our crowd today, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, if you preach that Christ rose again, how come there's some people who say, no, when you die, and that's it. You know, once you die, you die. I mean, that's it. There's nothing after that. There's no resurrection. There's no, like, one day you're going to be resurrected and stand before God. No, it's over. You know, you're just here. He's asking that question. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, here's the answer to the title. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses. If Christ had not risen, then all of us who think he is, we're liars. We are false witnesses. We are giving a false testimony. Our preaching is worthless. Our faith is empty. Verse 15 continues, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Wow. Christ be not risen, you are yet in your sins. Verse 18. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ. That's another way of saying a person who's saved and is a believer, but they've died. Some of your relatives, maybe even some of your children, they died. But they knew the Lord, and you say, oh, praise the Lord. They're, biblically, they're not really dead. They're just asleep in Christ. The Bible says, but wait a minute, if Christ be not risen, verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Here's the end result if Christ is not risen. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Wow. You know, the Bible answers that question. What if Jesus had not risen? Then we are of all men most miserable. If the only hope we have is this ethereal hope, like that preacher said on the radio when I read the introduction to He Lives, well, it's not really important if that man lived or died, or he may, it's the truth, his truth lives on. No. If Christ be not risen, then we are of all men most miserable. If Christ be not risen, we are yet within our sins. If the only hope we have is just to live and have happy feelings, and convince ourselves that everything's going to be okay, but we really don't believe it because when we die, and that's it. Then the Bible answers it, and we are of all men most miserable. In fact, more miserable than those who don't believe in Christ because we're false witnesses and we're believing a lie. Wow. The word vain was used several times there. It's not a word we use a lot today. Vain, some of you may still have a vanity in your house, or a young lady may have a little vanity where you sit in front of with an oval mirror sometimes to begin applying makeup. That's called a vanity for a reason. Ask your mom if you're not sure what that means, all right? But the word vain means empty, worthless, useless, of no purpose or value. Right? If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. Our lives are vain. There's really no purpose. The age-old questions that every person has asked themselves, whether outwardly or inwardly, why am I here? How did I get here? What am I here for in this life? What's the purpose of life? We just live and then we die, and then you get old and you die, and then it's all over. What happens after you die? Those questions that people try to answer. You know, really, how did I get here? What's the point of life? Am I just an accident? You know, have we just evolved over billions of years? Are we just another higher life form of an animal, and even those that come after us will continue to evolve? I mean, is that really it? Is that what life's about? We're just here? We're not really any different than our animals and apes and the people at the zoo. We're just, that's it? And then we're all going to die one day? Well, why do we die? Why does everybody have to die? How come we get old?
Why can't we fight those things? How come with our technologies and medicine, what do you mean everybody's going to die? Well, then what? You mean we just die? And it's all over? And there's nothing after that? Well, then what's the point of life? Why are we here? Well, that don't make any sense. And then you have that question that people try to answer. The world tries to give the answers. And the Bible gives answers. And sometimes there's people stuck in between. What if Jesus had not risen? What if Jesus was born of a virgin? What if he did live a sinless, perfect life for 30 years? What if he had substitutionary, gave himself as the Passover lamb for all of us? What if he actually died on the cross for our sins, paid the price, and died and was buried, but did not rise from the dead? Have you ever considered that? What if he accomplished all of those things? Paid for sin, gave his life, shed his blood, was taken down, put in the tomb, but then that was it. Didn't rise again. The Bible says that we would still be in our sins. The Bible says we'd still be of all men most miserable. Because if he could not rise from the dead, then he lost. Then it proved that Satan, or sin, or death, and the grave was more powerful. And that ultimately he was not God, not King of Kings. And that he was defeated. And that Satan wins. And that sin wins. And that death wins. And that all of us have no hope, and so we must fear death one day. Oh no, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. What would happen if you die? What if Jesus had not risen? Then what would be true is what a lot of people today live and practice. Maybe some of you. There's all there is life. Might as well live it up. Have a good time. You're only here once. No one really knows what happens if you die. You can't really know. I don't know if I believe all that stuff about after death. So, hey, eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun. Do everything you want to do, man. Party hardy. Have the most toys. Indulge yourself. Do whatever you want to do. That's a very much a prevailing philosophy today. Hey, you know, nothing after death. You know, that's just a story the church made up or people made up to scare you. Come on. We're just here, man. There's no real value in life. There's no real purpose in life. There wouldn't be if Christ had not risen. I want you to consider a few more things. If Christ be not risen, then there's no hope of any of us being risen. If Christ had stayed dead and could not raise again, then there's no hope of any of us being risen from the dead. There's no hope of any of us seeing loved ones who put their faith in Christ. I'm going to see them again one day. No, you're not. There's no hope of that. There's no hope of heaven. There's no hope of seeing God our Father face to face. There's no hope of eternal life and putting off this body of sin and body of ill health. No. Sin won if Christ be not risen. If Christ be not risen, then there is no point to life. There's nothing to look forward to. This is as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets. If Christ be not risen, then there's no value. You're not important. You're not valuable. If Christ be not risen, there's nothing after death, then you're not more important than anything else. A tree, a dog, horse, they're not important. And we see the results of that. Many people believe that, right, today? There's no value to a child. There's no value to an unborn one. There's nothing after death, so if you want to kill yourself, take yourself, that's fine. You see the long-time effects of those who believe that. Of course, today that's called humanism. That's been around since the Garden of Eden, where Satan cast doubt on the Word of God. There's no judgment. There's no answering to God. If Christ be not risen, is there even a thing? Does even sin matter? I mean, what's sin? You're not going to stand before God. There's no judgments. There's no penalty. I mean, who can say there's right and wrong then? Who says it's wrong to take someone's life? Who says it's wrong to steal? I mean, if you're not being risen, anything goes. I mean, we're just here. You make the rules. If Christ be not risen, then really, ultimately, as you look in the mirror, what is your purpose? Why are you here? Do you even matter? What's the meaning of life? Why not just pursue your own pleasure? Pursue your own happiness? Why don't you just live for yourself? Live for work, earn money, fame, fortune. Do whatever you want to do. There's no right and wrong. Man then, and by the way, you see this day, then if there's no afterlife and there's really ultimately, then man has to unite together. All of mankind must unite together to solve man's problems. We've got to save the earth. And we've got to save the planet. And we've got to save animals. And we've got to help each other because we're all here and there's nothing after this. There's no answer then found in the church or the Bible. If Christ be not risen. Maybe that's how some of you live your life. Maybe that's how some of your family lives their life. Maybe that's how some of your schools and colleges live their lives and promote their philosophies. Maybe that's what a lot of people do. If Christ be not risen, then we are indeed of all men most hopeless and most miserable. Turn out the lights. Put your Bibles in the garbage cans as you leave. For sale for the building. It's all in vain. There's no point in faking it. No point. There's no reason to be here. If Christ be not risen, then you and I, death ends it all. So you better just count your days. Do whatever you think you can do to find happiness. Unfortunately, that's the way that many people live, even those who name the name of Jesus Christ, as if he's not risen. But aren't you glad that the Bible declares he is risen? He is risen. Let us continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But look at that declaration of truth in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. There's the answer. We don't need to speculate and say, well, what if he isn't? He is. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Wait a minute. Adam was mankind's representative. He was perfect, created by God in the garden. He was the representative of all who would come after him. He had a free will, and he had no sin nature, and he sinned. And all of us would have done the same thing. He's our representative. And the Bible says that in Adam, all men sinned, and therefore the penalty of that came, death upon all men. There's your answer. Why do people die today? Sin, because we're all sinners. You cannot. There's a universal problem. We all die. Why? Because all men have sinned. Well, then how do you reverse that? There has to be someone, another man. Flesh and blood, a man, not an angel, not an animal, another man who has never sinned has to come and represent all of mankind and then be willing to die. What? Well, one man, sin entered. So there's going to have to be another man to take that curse away if there is one. And then he's have to be willing to die for all mankind and take the sins of all the world and be willing to pay the ultimate price, die. And that's what the Bible says in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What? What? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, put on human flesh, was born of a virgin, thus not inheriting sin, which is passed through man. The virgin birth is an essential doctrine of the Bible. He's born of a virgin, miraculous birth, thus he was born without sin. He then walked and lived on this earth 30 years, 33 years. 30 years till he began his public ministry of preaching and teaching and healing and proclaiming. And then at the age of 33, remember, there was not one person that could point out any sin he'd ever done. Even his enemies didn't have one. They had to make up lies. And then he willingly gave his life, was nailed to that cross, shed his precious blood, and died. Now, if he stayed dead, there's no hope for anybody. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he has risen changes everything. That is why it's the essential doctrine of the Bible and for believers, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No believer better hear any person putting down the resurrection of your Lord and Savior and be quiet about it. And act like, well, what? The resurrection of your, what? I mean, you stand on that. You say, I don't, that's, what are you talking about? Let me, you believe all that? Come on, that's just the church does that once a year, get your money. You know, okay, so you go to church, dress nice, put on pastels and hats and do all that and go, whatever, you can do that once a year. That's fine. You don't really believe that, do you? Now, the question is, for all those who don't know Christ and as they work with you day after day, what do they see? Do they see a child of God who believes he's risen? Or do they get to say, yeah, a bunch of those hypocrites in the church. whatever. I saw their car in the parking lot at IBC. I saw them walking out shaking hands on Easter morning. You ought to work with them. You ought to go to school with some of those kids. I'm their neighbor. Yeah, let me tell you, I've heard him talk to his wife. I heard how they yell and scream over there. They watch the same movies the movie theaters we watch. Oh, yeah, I told some dirty jokes. He laughed at them. Yeah, bunch of Christians, whatever. They complain as much as anybody. They're a bunch of, has Christ's resurrection made any difference other than on Sunday? Do you really believe he's risen? And if he is risen, what is it? How does it change your life? The Bible declares that Christ is risen. And the answer is hallelujah. Jesus Christ did die on the cross for my sins. Jesus Christ did shed his blood for my sins. A lot of times we like to say the sins of everybody. It's not very personal. Just make it yourself. He died for my sins. He shed his blood for my sins. He became a curse for my sins. He bore the wrath of God for my sins. He took my judgment for my sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, just as he said. Christ declared 5 or 6 times before he was even arrested what would happen to him, and he said repeatedly, the Son of Man will rise again the third day. The scriptures constantly declared that he rose again, and he did. The angels declared he rose again. The disciples eventually declared he rose again. The women declared he rose again. There were many witnesses who declared he rose again. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at the beginning of the chapter. This is one of the great chapters in all the Bible dealing with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at verse 1. We'll read a little bit here. Moreover, brethren. Now, this book is written to believers. When I say believers, if you're a visitor here today, it's not just someone who says, yeah, I believe that. It's a child of God. It's someone who's been born again, as Jesus said. You have realized that you are a sinner and that Christ died for your sins. And you have personally confessed your sins to God and asked Christ to save you. You will become a child of God, a believer. You're redeemed. The Bible word is your brethren. Not just anybody who sits in a church building. You're in God's family. You're one of the brethren. This little book was written to a church in the city of Corinth. His audience was all saved believers' brethren. And the Apostle Paul is writing to remind them of the importance of the resurrection. And he starts in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. by which also you are saved, to keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all. Here's what Paul's saying. When I came to you, when I came to Corinth, what Paul preached? I preached the gospel. What was the most important thing? The gospel. What was the very first thing, Paul, that you preached? The gospel, first of all, means of most importance. What I declared unto you, what I delivered unto you, what I proclaimed was first of all the gospel. You say, well, what's the gospel? Verse 3 answers it. That which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's another name for Simon Peter, then of the 12, the idea there is of the disciples. Verse 6, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Now, we're not given much information in the Bible, but the Bible says that at some point after Christ's resurrection, he was on earth for 40 days. 40 days. That's he did not just die and then go right to heaven, because then people say, well, you're hallucinating. Yeah, it's not. No. 40 days is a long time. Christ was on earth for 40 days, visibly, bodily. It was not a spiritual resurrection. He wasn't a ghost. He arose visibly and bodily. He proved it. He said, touch me. Give me food. I will eat all of that. He didn't hide himself. Though he was ministry was different. It says at one point he was seen of 500. I don't know how many are here today in the assembly here today. We might have 85. I don't know, 100 in here. Maybe not even that many in here. All right. But imagine there were 500 people in this auditorium, and you'd all come to worship the Lord, and all of a sudden the Lord shows up. Whoa! There are 500 people who personally saw him, talked to him, perhaps touched him at one time. That's. I mean, in court of law, one witness will do the job. Three witnesses will really do the job. 500. 500 brethren saw him at one time, verse 6 continues. Verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, that would be his brother, then of all the apostles, verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The apostle Paul says, listen, I saw the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus as I was heading to Damascus to arrest Christians. I hated the name of Jesus. I was convinced he was a dead Jew. He's not risen. It's a lie. It's a cult. I'm going to hound down every person that believes that. Jesus was not the Messiah. He's a con man. He was a false prophet. And he was headed to Damascus, and that bright light shone, and he heard that voice, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Lord, who is it? Jesus. It is Jesus whom thou persecutest. What? What? Wait a minute, if it's Jesus, that means he's alive. That means I was wrong. Oh my goodness. And you have that tremendous conversion of that enemy of Christianity, Saul of Tarsus, who said, I saw him. I didn't just hear him. I saw him personally. A miracle. You say, well, how could he see him? He's blind. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard the Lord Jesus Christ. In that moment, I knew I was wrong. He is not dead. He wasn't just some dead Jewish guy. Whoa! And you know that one of the greatest conversions in the history of mankind was the man named Saul of Tarsus, who gave his life eventually for the name of Jesus Christ. He believed it. As well as did all 11 disciples who gave their lives. Most all of them were martyred for the cause of Christ. You don't do that for something that's fake. You don't do it for a lie. You don't just hold on to that lie and then die for it. These men were transformed. These ladies were transformed. The early church was transformed. What made the difference? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was not just one day a week or one day a year. You read the book of Acts, this would be a good challenge. Read the book of Acts and highlight any time you see a phrase referring to the resurrection. You're going to see it all the time. At the day of Pentecost, as Peter preaches, he repents. You killed Jesus and God raised him up. And we are witnesses. Acts 3, same thing. God raised them up. We're witnesses. Acts chapter 4, I mean, you're going to see it again and again and again and again and again. With boldness, they preach Christ and the resurrection. What about Apostle Paul? He'd go into places, he preaches Christ and the resurrection. Christ is alive. He is alive. He had to suffer and he rose again. I mean, the whole core of the preaching of the gospel was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He is coming back. You need, whoa, I mean, that was what they did. So if we just talk about it one time a year, we're not doing justice to what the Bible says, how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. The tomb was empty. Just think about it. If Christ had not risen and someone had stolen the body, I mean, produce the body, right? Produce the body, all right? The disciples sure didn't steal it. They were scared. They had fled. There was Roman guard. The tomb was sealed. There was a 2-ton stone on there. They didn't steal it. If he's in there, just open up and show us his body. Notice, you don't see anyone refuting it, by the way. Go through the book of Acts. Isn't that amazing? They don't refute it. Even though they bribed some of the soldiers. I mean, they just keep saying, don't say that man's name. Stop it. All right? And Peter said, sorry. Neither is there salvation in any other name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. Wow. That got under their skin. You say, well that's great, Brother Boyer, but what? Okay. Is there more? Is that it? Christ is risen. So here are the things that should be true in the life of every person who knows Jesus Christ. What does it mean if Christ is risen? Well, it means he's God. It means he's alive. It means he's victorious. It means that he conquered Satan, sin, death, and the hell, and no true child of God ought to fear any of those things. Many of us live every day as a child of God, cowering under sin and guilt and the devil. Giving the devil way more credence than is due. And scared constantly of death and what will happen and all those things. We're not saying you should have a desire to die necessarily. But you ought not fear death for any true believer of God. You ought not be afraid of, oh, if I die, what will happen after that? Yeah, but I'm not sure. It's the unknown. Nobody can really know. That's not true. You can absolutely know. Read about the early church. You like to complain. Maybe you're a complainer of everything. Weather, government. Just imagine being a New Testament believer in the years after Jesus had risen. The prevailing government for centuries was Rome. The Roman emperors were wicked. They certainly didn't show any favoritism to Christians, especially after a certain point as the persecutions ramped up under Nero. If any group of people were going to cower, cave, it would have been those believers. And yet, if you know church history and the famous saying that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, the more they killed the Christians in the Colosseum, the more they martyred them, the more believers sprung up. You kill 10 Christians, it'd be 100 new believers. Killed 100, it'd be 1,000. It wasn't working. Well, I mean, they say, curse the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Women, pregnant women, children, teenagers, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Old people willing to die for Jesus Christ, to be burned alive, to have the lions come out and what? Who would do that unless you believed it with all of your heart? And we're not afraid of death. And we're not afraid of, oh, what happened if I die? Who knows? Oh, no, they knew. They were willing to give up their lives for Christ. They were willing to go to the uttermost parts of the world to share the gospel despite what would happen to them. Why? Because they believed it with all their heart. You don't die for something you don't 100% believe in. Well, I don't know, you know. I mean, I'll be a witness, but I don't know if things get hard, if I lose my job, if my family shuns me. You know, I don't know about that. Christ is risen. We know the answers. Because he is risen, we know the Bible is all true. If Christ had not risen, then, well, he didn't tell the truth. He said he was going to rise again. Christ be not risen, then the Bible's not true because it said repeatedly he was going to. So, but wait a minute, that verifies it. Christ is God. He is the Son of God. He is victorious. The Bible is true, all of it. Everything Jesus said is true. Now, wait a minute. If everything Jesus said is true, then wait a minute. He said, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're trying to enter heaven any other way than what Jesus said, then you don't really believe what he said. He said a man must be born again. Didn't say a man has to just attend church or be a righteous person or be a pretty good person. No, he said a man has to be born again. You have to be born from above. There has to be a spiritual birth. You're dead in your sins. There must be a new life given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's risen, we know that eternity is real. We know that death does not end everything. We know that there will be a resurrection of every person, some to life, some to death. We know that. The Bible declares it. That's true. So if I'm putting all of my stock in this life and I'm not prepared for eternity, the Bible says that's a fool. That's a foolish person to only live for now and give no thought to eternity or say, well, when I get to that point, no, when you get to that point, it'll be too late. The resurrection of Jesus Christ lets us know that eternity is real. There is a real heaven and there is a real hell. We know because of the resurrection, life is not just an accident or choice or chance. We know that we are created by God. We're valuable not because of us ourselves, but because we're created by God, that Christ died for us. We know that there is hope beyond the grave, that you need not fear. We know then that if you have a loved one or a little one who is too young to understand gospel, salvation, and sin, we know that if you're a child of God, you have the hope and the assurance that you will see them again, based on the very word of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just, well, I'll just hope it. No, the Bible declares that. Absolutely. Because of the resurrection, no believer should fear death or hell. Because of the resurrection, Christ's words are true. Believe those. Because of the resurrection, there is purpose for your life. Sin can be forgiven. You can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You can come boldly to the throne of grace at any time as a child of God because of Jesus Christ. You can have an everyday relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you don't have to go through life alone. You don't have to go through life hoping. And you can have a great friend. You can have a personal Savior. You can know God intimately according to the Word of God. Because of the resurrection, then, the church, when I say the church, I hope we know the definition. The church has a purpose because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't just come out of duty, check in, check out. You know, I feel guilty if I didn't come. I was raised that way. What would mom and dad say? No, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, any New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-practicing church knows that the church, and you're part of it, has a purpose. And that you're important to God. And that God has a purpose for you in the church. And that you and I should proclaim the gospel faithfully, boldly, and passionately. That you and I, as part of a Bible-believing church, ought to contend for the faith boldly and not let it slide by. Our Savior died for us. He rose again. We ought not to let His name be blasphemed. Because of Calvary and the resurrection, the empty tomb, you and I should be edifying and building up one another in the Lord. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we ought to be making disciples until He comes. We can't sit by idly and just say, well, I'm good, I'm saved. No, He commanded us. He said, all power is given unto me after the resurrection. He says, I have all the power, all the authority, and I've got all the keys. We see that in Revelation 1. What are the keys for? I've got the keys of death and hell and the grave. That means I'm the victor. I have those. They're mine. I won. I'm victorious. I have all power and all authority. So Matthew Gonzalez, you need not be afraid. I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. So therefore, Janet Kanicki, you ought not to be afraid. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. How many times in the Scripture does God say that? As a child of God, you go in my power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we know then that as a child of God, we're to make disciples. We're not to sit idly by. We're to pour ourselves into others and teach them what God taught us and to help them grow in the Lord so that when we fade off the scene and the Lord has not returned in our lifetime, that there will be others that can pick up that mantle and continue what God commanded us to do. Turn in your Bibles to John 5, and we're going to conclude here. John chapter 5. If you're in Corinthians, you're going to go backwards just a couple books. You're going to go to your left in your Bible. You're going to go back through Romans. You're going to go back through Acts. And you're going to get to the book of John. If you'll turn in your Bible to John 5, we're going to look at just a few verses here, and then we'll wrap up in a word of prayer. Now we're going to go back and look at some things that Jesus said before the cross. See if some of this makes sense now. Stuff he said while he was preaching and teaching before Calvary. John chapter 5, look at verses 24 through 29. John 5, 24 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Wow. And they that hear shall live. What? The same voice that walked up to a 12-year-old girl who had just died and said, "Damsel, arise." Boom. The same God, the same voice who walked over to a funeral going through the city, came over to where there was a young man who was in, either wrapped up or in a casket, basically said, "Young man, arise." That funeral was over. The same man that walked up to a tomb and just said out loud three words, "Lazarus, come forth." How's that possible? It's possible because he's God. And God has power over everything, including death. And the miracles of Jesus Christ verified who he was, and that even death had no power over God. But the greatest miracle of all was when Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again in his own power. We can't even understand that. It's impossible. He's dead. Because of that, nothing can stand in his way. He just said, the day is coming, the hour is coming, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. He's talking about those who died as believers. He's talking about the day, which could be today, when in the clouds, the trump and the voice of God just said, "Come forth." He's not going to say Lazarus. He's going to say, "Come forth." And all those who are dead in Christ, boom, are going to rise first, the Bible says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. I mean, that's all it's going to take. He's just going to say, "Come forth." Boom. Whoa. And they that hear shall live. That's before he even died on the cross. How about John chapter 6? John chapter 6, maybe just one page over. John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hey, there's hope for anybody in this room. You say, you wouldn't want. If you talked to me in your office and I started telling you all the stuff I did, preach you, God's not going to. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In fact, sometimes there's a hidden pride in people who say that. Well, you know, all the stuff I did. What, God doesn't know what you did? God doesn't know all that? You're shocking him? Sometimes there's a false humility in that. You come to him just as you are. And he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But keep reading. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That was not something hidden. Christ taught on that often, before Calvary. I'm God, I'm the Son of God. I will raise them up at the last day. Now, how's that possible? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He rose from the dead, death has no hold over Him. So therefore, even if you were to die, if I died today and there was a funeral, fine. That's just my earthly body. That's just the peanut shell, they say. That's just the outside peanut shell. It's going to go back to dust. But I'm not dead. No, absolutely not. One day, my body will be reunited with me when He just says, come forth. Wow. Some of us will have the privilege of never dying, ever, to be caught up alive in the presence of the Lord. How's that possible? Because Jesus Christ said it, and He conquered death, the resurrection. How about John chapter 11? Three references and we're done. John chapter 11, you're turning to your right here. Some of you were here at the early morning service. You're getting a little weary right now, all right? You're like, I don't know if I should have come to that service, all right? I don't know if I should have ate that French toast, all right? I'm not talking about the tribes, all right? I shouldn't have got that big meal. I'm getting a little tired right now. All right, what time is it? Hey, folks, we don't usually let out till 12, all right? Of course, we did start earlier, all right? So, John chapter 11, we're almost done. John chapter 11, verses 25, 26. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. Look, right there, stop. I am the resurrection. What? I am. That's all you need to know. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's talking about eternal separation in hell. Believest thou this? I could ask every one of you that. Don't answer out loud. Believest thou? Do you believe that?
I don't know about that.
Believest thou this? Wow. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, just a few more pages to your right. You say, well, okay, so he is risen. But how do we know he's going to come back? Because he said it. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, here it is, the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will come again. I would ask you this question. Believest thou this? Do you believe that?
I know, but how, I don't know, but what's so scary about dying and being in pain and I know.
Believest thou this? The same one said, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know. He's talking to his 11 disciples. And the way ye know. Now one of the disciples pops up and says something. Thomas, verse 5. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we? Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And then he gives that great verse. Thomas, I am the way. But we don't know the way. I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you understand, folks, as we conclude this morning, that if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to say this in the authority of the Bible, you can't be saved. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God, you're not a believer. We say, oh, what about Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's out of the Bible. You've got to confess with your mouth and you've got to believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. He is not dead. He is alive. I believe that with all of my heart. Therefore, when I call out to Him, I'm calling out to a living Savior, not a dead one. And I believe that everything He said, that He alone can save me from my sins, my wretched sins. He can make me born again, a brand new believer. He can give me the hope that I don't have to say, well, I hope I'm going to heaven one day. No true believer ought to say that. I think so. I'm trying. Those aren't Bible answers. I know so. It's based on the Lord. You didn't do anything to save yourself. And you're not going to do anything to keep yourself saved. It's all Jesus Christ.
He saves you, he keeps you, he seals you, and he says, I give you everlasting life, and that's based on the great I am. And his resurrection verified it all. And that's the reason Resurrection Sunday is such an important day. And we don't just talk about it one day a year. It ought to make an eternal impact in all of our lives. So as we conclude, can I ask you a question, child of God? Can I ask you, church member, visitor, young, old? Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ made any lasting difference in your life? Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, his ascension to heaven as he sits at the right hand of the Father, who said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again. I could come at any moment. Be ready. Has that made any difference in your life? Or just on Sunday mornings? Does it change the way you think, the way you act, the way you obey, the way your thought life is, your philosophy about life, money, finances, sin? Has it changed anything about your outlook on life? When you see people that are around you, you know that eternity is real. And what does it change your focus, your passions? Do you overcome timidity and fear, your excuses? Does the resurrection of Christ change anything? Because it made some men who were selfish, proud, conceited, bigoted, and afraid can totally transform men in the book of Acts. They were never the same. They weren't perfect men. They were completely transformed by the fact that Jesus Christ was alive. They had seen him. And that everything he said was true. And so when the angel said in Acts 1, you men of Galilee, I think the angel said it with a kind smirk, maybe. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing, looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, I'll paraphrase, shall so come again in like fashion. He's not coming back right now, fellas. What are you doing looking up there? He's given you a mission. Get busy. And we have the record of that. The Acts, the actions of the apostles proclaiming the gospel and almost every one of them dying for the gospel's sake. They believed that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. I asked that same question to you. Do you believe that with all your heart? Have you ever personally bowed your head inside? You don't have to bow your head, it's not in the Bible. But in humility, confessed before God that you believe what he said. You're a sinner. You're lost in your sins. You're a sinner because Adam sinned. Death comes because of sin. If you don't change anything, you're going to die as a sinner, lost and hopeless without the Lord. You admit that and believe that, and you recognize that Jesus Christ alone, no other person, died for you, shed his blood for you, was buried for you, and rose again. And what he extends and says to every person, I can give you eternal life. I have all the keys and I have all the power. And nobody else to go to but me. Will you confess your sins? Will you turn to me? Will you, by faith, call upon me for salvation? The Bible says when you do that, you shall be saved. And how do you know you're saved? I don't know if I'm saved because he said it. I believe that just as much as the resurrection. If I did what he said and I meant it with all my heart, I'm going to believe what he said. I'm saved. I have eternal life. I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to pursue that when I sin. I get it right with God. And that's the hope and the confidence I hope that each person in here does. Wow, what could this assembly do? Just this assembly right here today. Wow, if we turn loose all saved believers who live in the hope of the resurrection. Wow. You know him? We don't have to worry about what if he's not risen. He is risen. We shouldn't be of all men most miserable. We should be of all men most joyful. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I appreciate your great attention. I appreciate our nursery workers. I appreciate our children's church workers. In just a minute or two, we're going to go ahead and dismiss you. But I want to ask a quick question for you, for those who are here today. Yeah, every person must answer this privately. You can't answer for your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your children. You can only answer for yourself. Have you ever had a time
where you can look back upon and say that there was a time, a specific time, where I saw what the Bible said. I was a sinner, lost in my sins, hopeless without the Lord Jesus Christ. No amount of good works or good deeds or religious things could help me find favor with God or have my sins forgiven. I saw that the cross and the Calvary is where Christ died for my sins. After all, if there was any other way to save myself, he wouldn't have had to die on the cross. So I understand why Jesus died, and I see his sacrificial love. And I realize and believe that he is not dead, but he is risen, and that proves everything he said. And there was a time where I understood that, and I realized that, and I felt maybe the conviction of the Holy Spirit within my heart. And I called out to the Lord. It may have been as a child. It may have been out loud. It may have been in the quietness of your heart. You called out to the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, please save me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you shed your blood for my sins. I believe that you died, buried, and you rose again for me. I believe that you are alive today, and I believe that you are the only way to heaven and forgiveness of sins. And today I'm turning from my old life, my old sins, and I'm turning to you, and I believe on you. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you save me?" Now, the Bible says that when we do that, and we mean that with all of our heart before God, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means to be rescued and delivered from your sin. That means the moment you do that, Jesus said, "I give you everlasting life. You become my child. I will raise you up at the last day if you were to die. You need not fear death. You're mine now." Perhaps you're here today and you would say, "Preacher, I've never done that." Or maybe you'd say, "Preacher, I had never done that before, but I just did that. I just prayed that in the quietness of my heart, and I didn't do it because I was trying to impress anybody. I did it because I meant it. I called upon the Lord to save me." Is there anyone that would just, with me looking only, just slip up your hand and say, "Pastor Boyer, I want you to know I prayed that in my heart, and I meant it with all my heart. I called upon the Lord this morning to save me, and I'm not ashamed of that. I want you to know, Pastor Boyer, that today on Easter Sunday, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I called." Is there anyone like that at all that just showed, raise your hand up and down so I would know? Child of God, maybe you would say yes. How many would simply say this? "Pastor Boyer, I'm a visitor. Pastor Boyer, I'm a longtime church member. Pastor Boyer, but there's definitely been a time. There absolutely has been a time where I did that. There has been a time where I saw I was a sinner. I put my faith and trust in Christ. And I have no doubt that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven based on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection." If that's you, would you slip up your hand quietly? "Yes, preacher, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. I have a testimony of when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ." Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Not at all were able to raise their hands. In just a second, Shane's going to come. We're going to have just a stanza or two. The pianist is beginning to play. You can trust the Lord right there in the quietness of the pew. You could come to the front here and pray if you'd like. I'm happy to meet you at the front. If you'd like to talk with someone, we have a man and a lady at the back. Our men will talk with men, a lady with ladies. No one's going to embarrass you. But today is the day of salvation. Oh, please do not put off trusting Christ as your Savior. Our pianist begins to play. Our brother's going to begin to sing. I'm here at the front. Child of God, God may have convicted you that you live more like a lost person. You're saved and you believe in the resurrection, but it doesn't make much difference in your life, marriage, and family. Would you be willing to get that right with God?
What will you do with Jesus?
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you respond to the Lord if he's talking to you?
What will you do with Jesus?
Don't be afraid. The Lord will meet you. Come to him.
He who can make you.
If you've never trusted Christ, would you do that today, please?
Sovereign of all the ages, Savior of Calvary, what will you do with Jesus? to set you free.
One final stanza.
What will you do?
Child of God, you're saved.
Jesus,
you've trusted Christ.
He who
you believe in the resurrection. But does it show Monday through Saturday?
What will you do with Jesus?
Parents, do your children know that you love the Lord and they see it in mom and dad?
He who can cleanse with
Do you love to share the story with other people, or are you timid?
Giver of life,
would you trust him today? Would you confess sins? Would you get right with God?
Victor of hell's domain, what will you do with Jesus? Gladly he bore your pain.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have you look this way. In fact, I'm going to have Shane and Katie slip to the back. They'll be at the back door. A lot of times they're going to not here. In fact, they're going to be gone a lot this summer, so glad to have them here. They're going to be at that back door back there, and I may be more here at the front, but a lot of visitors sprinkled in and out. I see some folks I may not have not met before. We're so glad to have you here today, and I'm happy to stay at the front. I'd love to meet you, and if not, the Kohlmeyers are back there. Brother Shane not only handles our music, he's an evangelist, and they're going to be gone for about 4 months this summer, June, July, August, September, so we won't see them a whole lot, so I'm going to have them there at the back to shake your hands. So thank you so much for being here on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. If we can help you in any way, pray with you, answer some Bible questions, please come see myself or the Kohlmeyers. Glad to jot down a name, an address, if we can get together during the week. We're more than happy to meet with you and love to be a help to you and answer some questions. Again, thank you so much. Good to see many visitors here today, and I hope folks will go out of their way to greet you. Again, this afternoon, no choir practice. We will have an evening service at 6 o'clock, and we'd love to see you back tonight. There will be no Tykes for Truth tonight, but bring your children anyways. Have them getting used to being in the Lord's house with God's people. I hope you have a wonderful Lord's Day, wonderful Easter Day, whether you go out to eat or you have family coming in. Whatever you do, rejoice in the Lord today. Share the gospel. Get gospel track and share it with someone if you're going to a restaurant and let them know the good news. Glad to have you here. Praise the Lord. I hope to see you tonight. You are dismissed.